Hello, welcome to Grace Church. My name is Johnny. I lead the team here in Bognor. It's good to have you all with us today. I just want to comment very quickly on the gift day. Just incredible generosity of this church. It is incredible to see what God is doing and just seeing people still giving even since that video was made. It's just amazing. What a church we have got, a generous church, and we thank God for it. Oh, hello. We thank God for his generosity as well. One of the rules when you are preaching is to never do a show of hands, because when you do a show of hands, everyone's always like really awkward and they feel really uncomfortable. So a show of hands, who has ever worried or being fearful? And there's like people going, I'm really worried about putting their hand up. Like, let's be honest, we are all worried. We all get fearful at points. I'm pretty sure the last time that you worried about something or were fearful about something was pretty recently. Probably for me was, are we going to get here on time this morning, Kim? Let's go. Come on, we're going to be late. It's always Kim that's late. It's never me. Never me. The truth is, we live in a world which is driven by worry and anxiety and fear. We worry about if my money will stretch far enough, if I have enough of it, if I have enough in my savings account. We worry about our families. We worry about our families abroad or close to us. We worry about it functioning well. We worry about our children. Are they safe? Are they going to are they going to succeed at school? We worry about the things that we wear. We worry about, oh, if I go to this party and I wear this, does this suit me? Does this fit the occasion? We sometimes go, does this fit me? We worry about how we come across. We worry if we come across arrogant. We worry if we come across too shy, too loud, too quiet. We worry if we'll ever get married. We worry when we're married that we'll stay married. We worry if we've got the right... Not me. It's not me. Let's clarify. We worry about the stuff we have. We worry if we've got the right stuff, if we look right, if the car is right, if the phone is right. We worry about our health. We worry about our family's health. We worry about our own health. We worry about if that thing that we go to the doctor about is worth worrying about. We worry about making our next birthday. We are worrying about absolutely everything. We do. And there is a spectrum on our fears. It ranges. There are some which are reasonable. Being told some life-threatening information is a very different worry to worrying about if your house is clean enough for life group. There is a range. Worry is absolutely everywhere. Anxiety is absolutely everywhere. So it should not surprise us that today Jesus is addressing our fears and our worries during his sermon on the Sermon on the Mount. So as a church, we are looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We are seeing how Jesus calls Christians to be different in how they live their lives. And at this moment in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has just finished his attention on money, and now he is talking about worry. It shouldn't surprise us, because so often in Scripture you see finances and fear and faith are often mentioned all together. All right, this is the worry that Jesus is talking about, and the anxiety that Jesus is talking about is based on the day-to-day worries and anxieties. He's not really referring to mental health, but much more to the day-to-day anxieties. And so this subject of worry that he talks about, it takes us to the end of chapter 6 in Matthew. So if you want to turn there, grab that, just so you know, I'm going to be probably going through that passage a bit at a time. So you might want that up in front of you the whole time, and then you can just follow along when I'm talking about different things. I don't want you thinking that I'm making everything up that I'm talking about. That, actually, you can see this is God's word, and we're taking it from what God has said. So we're going to read. We're going to be in Matthew 6, and we're at verse 25. It'll appear on the screen. Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store in away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I don't know if you've ever been to London. In London, they have many a tour. You can have a bus tour. You can have a river tour, like a river cruise, a boat tour. You can even have a duck tour, which is like on sea and on land. And what they do is they take you to different places on route, and then they tell you about that thing. And I like to imagine that this is sort of what Jesus is doing now. So he's gone from money, he's taking us a tour of our lives, and he's pointing out how we're to be different. And now he's at a moment where he's like, worry, this is worry, look at this monument. And it's a bit like you go to that monument in London, you go to Big Ben, and they reveal some information to you. Did you know Big Ben is not actually called Big Ben? Big Ben is called Elizabeth Tower. And so it's like Jesus is going, oh no, I want you to see properly. I want you to see and understand this. He's taking us on a guided tour of understanding our worries and our fears. Martin Lloyd-Jones, wonderful theologian, he says this about this passage: you will not find anywhere in any textbook a more thorough analysis of worry, anxiety, and the anxious care that tends to kill man in this world. Jesus is focusing in on our worry this morning, and he's unpacking for us an understanding of this worry and this fear that we have. And he says this. This is what Jesus says to us. Don't worry. Don't worry. And this morning I want to unpack why we don't need to worry by seeing what worry does to us, by seeing the impact of worry from what Jesus says in this passage. So first of all, I want us to look at verse 25. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Jesus is saying here is our worry places value on stuff. Our worry, it devalues who God is. Our worry places a value on the wrong things. Right? There is a significant, that first phrase, therefore I tell you, is a significant phrase, because what he's doing is pointing back at what he has said before. It's a conclusion of what he has just mentioned. And if you flick back a verse or two, you'll see no one can serve two masters. In other words, you either choose, are you going to be serving stuff or are you going to serve God? And that's a real challenge to us in how do you, what is it that you value? Jesus knows the reason that worry and anxiety grows in our life is because we put stuff as our master. We put stuff over God. We place value on the stuff rather than on who God is. And Jesus is saying that the more value you give specific stuff over God, the more fear and anxiety is going to rule and reign in your life. All right, let me give you a really easy example. All right, money. Money is important. It is. If I was to do another hands up, right, I think people would be like, oh, is it? Am I allowed to say it? Yeah, money is important. It is really important. We clothe our children with it. We put it in our car. We pay for our houses or rent our houses with it. We use it to buy food. Money is important, all right? It is definitely important. Jesus is not saying stuff isn't important, right? You've got to get that right. He isn't saying it's not important. He's just saying it is not of utmost importance. Because if we make money the thing that is of all importance, right, fear and anxiety start to creep in. It starts to become the thing that rules and reigns in us. Oh, have I got enough? Will I get by? Or have I got that money in that savings account for a rainy day? You can have another example. Kids, all right? If we're helicopter parents circling our kids, making sure they're safe all the time and are never going to get hurt and are never going to be safe, our fear and anxiety is going to rule and reign, and we're going to worry, are they going to be a drug kingpin when they're the age of 15? Right, it's going to rule. It rules and it reigns in our life if we place the value in the wrong stuff. Jesus' first challenge on our tour of our worries and understanding it is that fear and anxiety is going to rule and reign in our life, right? If we make stuff too important, and that's where fear and anxiety is going to win. But he doesn't stop at that. He doesn't say, "Oh, tough luck. There you go. Do that, deal with that." He actually is so compassionate in the next verse. He says in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you add a single hour to your life?" Our worry distracts us from the birds. Our worry really could learn from the birds. I can just imagine Jesus in this moment. He's on this mountaintop in the outside, and he's like, oh, think of the birds. And he can just see these things that he's naming. So they're there in that moment, and they see, oh, yeah, the birds, yeah. Oh, yeah, look and think of them. And he mentions a bit later about flowers. Yeah, Jesus uses the illustration of birds in this moment while they're all outside to point to he is the source of your supply. He cares for you. Yeah, in both cases of the flowers that he mentions a bit later on and the birds that he mentions here, he says, look at them. Look at them and think about them. And when we do that, we can learn so much. Martin Luther says it this way. He says, "You see, Jesus is making the birds our teachers." Just imagine a teacher, like a bird, being at school telling you off. The analogy that he is making here, it's between the birds and us in verse 26. He's saying that, you know, you are more valuable than a bird. Why is it that I am more valuable than a bird? It's because of Genesis. We go back in Genesis, at the start of creation, we are made in the image of God. We are made in God's image. When God came to earth, we're going to celebrate Christmas in a bit. Well, not in a bit, like in a month. When we celebrate Christmas, we're not celebrating Jesus coming as an eagle. We're not celebrating Jesus coming as a vulture or a sparrow. No, he came in human form. That's the value that God places on human beings. And then he says, and yet, God takes responsibility for feeding the birds. How much more value are you than the birds? Yet God takes responsibility in feeding the birds. We can overcome worry and fear by remembering who we are. Look at the birds. Our worry and our fear says, no, look at yourself. Look at that thing that you really want. Look at your needs. Look at your stuff. And Jesus is saying, no. Look at the birds. Look at them. And this doesn't, I just want to caveat this. That doesn't mean that we go, fine, cool, I'll just sit back. God's got this, easy. And just sit back and do nothing. And then Jesus says, look at the birds. He says, look how much I care for you. But he also says, look at the birds. All right? God's not saying just sit back and do nothing, right? That's not how birds work. Birds work really hard. Birds work really hard. How does God feed the birds? Right? They feed themselves. They go around and some will pick up seeds and pick up little seeds and I'm not going to enact all of them. some pick up fish, don't they? Some are scavengers and they'll go around and grab anything that they can find, but they feed themselves. God feeds them, but it's not like he's just got a pot of seed in his hand and he just pours it into each of their mouth one at a time. No. They go out and they use what God has put in nature to feed themselves. It's the same for us as human beings. God provides for us. He cares for us, but we need to cooperate as well. Martin Luther, he's pretty brutal in what he says about this. He says, God wants nothing to do with lazy, gluttonous bellies who are neither worrying nor busying. They act as if they have to sit and wait for him to drop a roasted goose in their mouth. In this verse, you get a real encouragement from Jesus to work hard, be good stewards, use what God's given you, and trust the Lord. Yeah, so hear the encouragement from Jesus. Work hard, be good stewards, and trust the Lord. Verse 27 is a great one. Who can add a day by worrying? No one. Nobody can do that. Our worry needs to learn from the birds. God provides, God cares for us. He is with us. Let's read on our verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? Jesus is now focusing on our fears here. He's pushing into our fears and trying to hammer home that point. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Notice there he doesn't say you have no faith. It's not a mention of our salvation. He's just talking and challenging them to push deeper into him. It's of little faith. He's pushing them deeper into him. Verse 31, so do not be worrying and saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. Look at verse 30. If that's how God clothes the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, you know what? Jesus is not shying away from the troubles of life. Our worry degrades and it denies the troubles that we face in life. And Jesus is like, no. There will be trouble in your life. He's not shying away from the fact that all of us will certainly die. Sorry to tell you, but you are an hour closer than when you walked into this room to dying. We will all die. And yet, we think, oh, trouble's not going to come. Believe it or not, Christians are not exempt from experiencing trouble. We are not exempt from being trouble-free. Yeah, we can be free from fear and free from anxiety. God calls us to that. He says, don't worry. But it's not the same as being free from trouble. They're very separate things. Verse 30, although God clothes the grass, he cares for the field. He cares for us. It's still cut down and burnt. A Christian's freedom from fear and anxiety is not due to some guaranteed freedom from trouble, all right? But our freedom from fear and anxiety are in the confidence that God is our Father, that he cares for us, that even in our suffering, even in our fears, he is there and he cares for us and he loves us. John Stott just beautifully words this. He says, it's reasonable to trust and not worry in our Heavenly Father's love, even in times of grievous trouble, because we have been privileged to see it revealed in Christ and his cross. So even when trouble comes, fear and anxiety doesn't have to creep in. Fear and anxiety doesn't have to push into us, because we see on the cross a hope and a love which surpasses our understanding. And it's freeing to know that we're not in control. I'm not in control of the moment that I die. It's so freeing to be in that place. And the control freaks in the room are like, but how do I control the thing I can't control? No, we are free. It's so freeing to know we are free, that we can't control this. That our God is our Father. He cares for us and he nurtures us. And we see it displayed on the cross. Our worry denies trouble. Jesus says, no, trouble will come, but he's also got a fatherly heart for us. But it also discredits our future. Our worry discredits our future. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That last bit, all these things will be given to you, it's sometimes warped, sometimes twisted. And so I just want to make it clear what the line is saying is that every fear, every anxiety that we currently walk in, no matter how legitimate it is or how illegitimate it is, like we said earlier, there's a range of anxiety, but it doesn't also take away the pain and the difficulty of those moments, right? There is pain still and there's trouble still, but when we are, no matter how legitimate or illegitimate the fear that we have is, in 2,000 years' time, when we are seated in glory with Jesus, we will see that they are really silly. We'll look back and go, wow, they are silly. We do it in this life. We look back. I think today, it's ironic, right? I'm preaching on worry, and this is not, Don't think I'm just preaching and this isn't like a thing in my own life. Okay, I worry. Like today I was like, oh, I hope it's good enough, I hope it's all right, I hope it helps people and encourages people. We worry, we do it. And even today, and do you know what? Later on this afternoon, I'm going to go, why do I worry about that? We do it. We all do it, and it's going to be the same, even more vastly, when we are in the kingdom of God, in glory with him, when we look back and we look on this in our season of trouble and our season of fear and we go, that was silly. But it's also worth being aware that although it's silly, when we look back in the future, the pain and the difficulty of the time is still there. It doesn't take that away. Yeah, but being aware of our future hope, it grants us a hope to believe that seeking first his kingdom is enough. Worrying discredits our future hope. Trusting in God reminds us of our hope to come. But also our worry disrupts our today. Our worry disrupts our today. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. We can enjoy today. Isn't that good? We can enjoy where we're at today. There's no need to add trouble to today. There's no need to add the trouble of tomorrow, what's to come, to today. If we are fearing and worrying about tomorrow, we are not going to enjoy the goodness of God today. If we are fearing and worrying about tomorrow, we will never enjoy the goodness of God today. I'm not saying don't plan stuff. I'm not saying don't plan at your will and things like that. I'm just saying that what I'm talking about, enjoying the goodness of God today. In my life, I don't say this boastfully, I'd say this in praise of God. Praise God, I am healthy. I've got three healthy children. I have a marriage which is flourishing and lovely and wonderful. Yeah, by God's grace, I thought I'd get that one back in there after the comment earlier. But by God's grace, we have very little drama in our life at the moment. I don't want to be thinking, but tomorrow, oh, it's going to be really full of drama. That's going to be really full of trouble. I don't want to think, oh, it's sunny today, but the black clouds are going to come over. Trouble's going to come over. Something's awful is around the corner. Yeah, it might be, but it's not going to impact my today. I want to. It's just absurd. It saps the joy of the goodness of God in today. All right? I want to be grateful today that I get to preach the word of God. I get to tell you about this God that I love so much. What a privilege that is for me. And then later on, we've got some friends coming over from Havant to just talk life, and our kids get to spend some time with them, and we might not even be disturbed by kids for a while. It'd be great, right? We've got loads going on. And then this evening, I don't think I've got a meeting this evening, which is exciting. I get to put my kids to bed. I get to spend time with them. I get to read their school book with them. I get to see how they're learning to read, or I get to chat through the book with them. I get to chat school life with them. I don't want to be in that moment thinking, I wonder if Nella is going to just go off the rails when she's 15. I don't want to be thinking, oh, what if that boy comes along that Zippy, I just don't want her to be with. I don't want to be thinking, oh, Mimi's going to secondary school in a couple of years. I wonder what she'll be like when she goes to secondary school. I don't want to be in those places. I want to be rejoicing in the goodness of God where I am right now. I'm not saying don't pre-plan. I'm just saying let's enjoy the goodness of God in our moment right now, because tomorrow's got enough worries of itself. Tomorrow can trouble itself. And you might be in a place of trouble, and you might be in a place of pain at the moment, but like I said earlier, it denies our future. The worry denies our future. When we are in trouble, we need to remind ourselves we have a hope in Jesus. It's just really helpful what Andy brought earlier, the Leonard Cohen song, "The Cracks of the World, Let the Light In." Do you know what? Our fear and our worry needs bringing into the light. Our fear and our worry is destroyed in the light of Christ. Verse 33 and 34, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What a compassionate statement from Jesus. This is how you deal with your fear and your anxiety. He's saying, this is how you deal with your fear and anxiety. You go, there you are, God. That's what you do with your fear and your anxiety. You lay it down, and you're like, well, that's really simple. That's really easy. It is. But I just want to push this point home, and this is where the truth becomes a little bit painful and a little bit tough. The bottom line is this. Most fear and anxiety that fills us is because we simply don't trust that God is good. There is no freedom from fear and anxiety if we're saying, yeah, God's got it, but actually, I don't think that. We need to get to a point where we're saying, I just don't trust that you are good. I don't trust that you have my best interest. I don't trust that you are going to provide for me. I don't trust that you are good. I don't trust that you are good enough. I don't trust that you're good enough for me. And so what I'm going to do, God, is I'm going to take this worry. I've got this. I've got complete control of it. You've got to get to a point where we are not pretending that he is good when we don't think he is. When we finally are honest about who we actually are, when we say, God, I'm in this place. I'm in this place where I just do not trust you. I don't trust that you have got that. When we get to that place, that's when the Holy Spirit can accomplish what it wants to accomplish. That's when the Holy Spirit can push in. Jesus says, today has enough trouble of its own, so deal with it today. Hand it over to God and say, God, help me. I don't trust you. I don't think you are good enough. So first, we need to, when we're dealing with our fear and anxiety, is we need to be honest with God. We need to bring what we feel to him. We need to be honest with our fears. We need to be honest with our worries. And we need to bring it into the light. 1 John 1. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth, claiming that he is good when really I'm not feeling that. I'm not sure about that. We need to tell him where you're at. We need to be honest with God. We need to do that. And this is what we do with it. We go, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar and his word is not in us. That is deep stuff. And I just want to mention one line here. Walk in the light. Walk in the light of Christ. Walk in the knowledge of Jesus. We can bring our fear and anxiety into the life, into the light, and we can deal with it. One way we can do that is by inviting people and say, oh, can you just challenge me? Can you challenge me on the thing that I'm fearing about? Asking one another, oh, what is it you fear at the moment? Let's pray into that. Let's get alongside you and push you into that. Imagine the type of church we would be if that was the culture, if that's what we did. Just like Val did this morning, just sharing what she shared. Her fears and anxieties, actually, you know, we get alongside, we pray with you, we encourage you, and we see God working. What a difference that would make. What a difference that would make to us as a church. We would be a God-glorifying, Jesus-orientated, and truly grace-filled church. That's what we would be. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 7 says this. This is how we do it. Humble yourself. We got to bring it into the light. But that's the tricky part. Humble yourself. Come to Jesus, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And what do we do when we come into the light? What do? Cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Bring it into the light of Christ. There you go. God, this is what I've got. This is my fear. This is my anxiety. This is what I am petrified about with the future. We bring it to him. We lay it at his feet. And when we understand fear and anxiety correctly, when we look at it through the lens of Christ, when we are walking in the light and we're shining a light on it, we place increasing dependence on God rather than on things. We see creation, we can see in creation that God is good, that we've got a greater hope for tomorrow because we have a Savior who welcomes us today, who walks with us in our day-to-day, who's there in our day-to-day, who carries our fears and anxieties when we give it into the light. Praise God. Let's get the band to come up. In a moment, we're going to take communion. So if you've got your communion, your pot thing, you might want to grab that. And I just want to share what I just feel God wants to do this morning when we take communion. When we take communion, what we're doing is we are remembering, we are sharing where we're at. We're coming into the light when we are taking communion. And so what I want us to do, let's stand. Let's do this together as we take communion. Got two lids, just peel off the ones that you can. They're a bit fiddly. What we're doing in this moment is we're going to remember. And as we remember, we're going to remember what God has done, who he is, what it is to be in the light. And we're going to repent. We're going to say, God, I am sorry for this fear that I have let win, that I have placed this value on this thing above you. I put value in this. Actually, I realize, no, you are the thing that I can hold on to. And this isn't just a repentance, which is a confession time. I know this is different. This is coming into the light. There is a difference. We're bringing it into the light. This is joyful repentance. This is coming to the one who was on a cross, who died for us, who set us free from fear and worry and shame, the one we can cast our anxieties onto. So let's take the bread together. I'm just going to pray as we do that. And you might want to be specific with God and say, God, I'm sorry for this. But then after you've repented, after you've said, I'm sorry for this fear that I've let win or this anxiety I've let take over and be more victorious in my life than you are, turn it to praise. Thank him for who he is. God, I thank you that in our fear and anxiety, you are enough. Even when I don't feel it, even when I don't believe it, you are enough. And the reason I know you're enough is because I can look at your cross. I can see on your cross displayed the demolition of fear and anxiety. I can see at your cross all the things that I have done wrong. And God, I'm sorry for where I've gone wrong, where I fear about such minor things, where I don't have an eternal perspective, where I don't have, where I think trouble is greater than you, where I don't think you're going to care for me. God, I'm sorry. Help me to trust you more. As we take the wine,